So we're in lesson 9 of the bait of Satan, and it's been challenging for us. Last week we found out that Jesus just about offended everybody. He was an equal opportunity offender. He offended everybody that he came across, not on purpose, not for his own gain, but because he refused to come off the truth. It's very appropriate that we're talking about that in this hour, because most of what we say is not accepted anymore. But it's going to be, because truth will have its way. We have to believe that. The air is thick with the Word of God. I picture whenever I start to doubt things, I always get this picture. I work in mind pictures. And so as I pray, I see the Word of God hanging all over the atmosphere. When we speak the Word of God, it comes from Him. My Bible says that His Word will not return to Him void, but it will do the work that it was sent to do. And if it doesn't do the work it's sent to do, it hangs around until it does. And so if you could see the atmosphere, we're absolutely walking through the thick atmosphere of the Word. Because the Word does two things. The Word saves and the Word judges. You're not hearing me tonight. Nobody has any excuse on that day. We're either going to respond and get saved, or the Word that's hanging in the atmosphere will condemn us. And God is always speaking. How many know God is always speaking? So whenever the Word returns to Him, the work is accomplished. And so if I get discouraged, I think about that. And so last week we talked about some things that Jesus offended people. We talked about the fact that Jesus offended a lot of people. How would you say, I just need a couple of answers to this, how would you say Jesus is offending people today? Just at the mention of His name. People get offended when we talk about Jesus. Why do people fear that, by the way? People pray publicly, they always say amen in the name of God, or they mention God, but very seldom do I hear anybody's answer or end of prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Why do they do that? Anybody know? Convicts their spirit. What God are they praying to? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen? Yes. He's the real thing. And there's fear and anger, because they don't want Him to be the real thing. Hey, how about this? How does Jesus offend? When we have victory in our lives. See, I serve God. I serve a different kingdom. What's happening in the world doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me. It's not supposed to affect me. Come on, somebody. I'm not worried about the dollar. I'm not worried about food. I'm not worried about clothing, because my king told me he'd take care of me. So I have trust in Him. And that makes people mad. And I'm not going to get caught up in your psycho stuff. Everybody's in all this psycho stuff, this thing and that thing, and California's going to fall off, and Washington's going to erupt, and pestilences and earthquakes. And we are warned about that. And Jesus offends people when He sees folks like you and I calm. We're calm. We're calm. I'm not all upset. Somebody wants to get me upset. They really try. People send me stuff all the time to get me all excited. And I love people enough, I try to get excited. I really do. I try to get excited and wonder what it'll be like. God, what's it going to be like when I can't find any food? And the Holy Ghost tells me, I'll feed you. God, what is it going to be like if my car don't start? I'll get you where you need to go. Either He's true or He's not. Somebody, how do we make people upset today? How does Jesus upset people? Because he's not all caught up in the what is happening right now in our nation. Is we're finally reaping what we've sown for years. The earth is crying out for revenge. Like I said, 40 years, the last 40 years, 1.37 billion babies have been murdered. The entire population of China, if you can imagine. Come on, somebody. It's quiet in here. Hey, what's the first question we should ask ourselves when we unintentionally offend somebody? Because people get offended all the time. What should we ask ourselves when somebody gets unintentionally offended? Boy, that's good. Did you hear what she said? If God tells you to say something, let the chips fall where they may. Now, if you're just running your mouth, motor mouth, vomit everything that comes in. How many know there's this little check that the Holy Ghost gives us just before we speak? And we'd be very smart if we'd listen to the check. Am I the only one? I mean, come on. Sometimes you open your mouth, you start to speak, you go, oh no. And God didn't put a reverse in our voice. Yeah. Oh, sometimes, yeah. Oh, yeah, if it's a positive thing. But sometimes we want to win an argument, or we want to say something to put somebody down, and it comes out of our mouth without thinking. And it's unintentional, but we offend somebody. What's the first thing we should do? Apologize. You know, I'm an idiot. I didn't listen to what the Holy Ghost told. Please forgive me. Right away. Because if we let that person get offended and walk away, it's that much harder every time we see them. And we build offenses. And we're going to talk tonight. Jesus said offenses will come, but woe to them from who they come. And so then we don't want to do that. Amen? So let's watch this film, session number 9. Take some good notes, and then we'll talk right afterwards. You ready, Margaret? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew 18. It occurred to me that this was first taught in 2003. John Bevere taught this, not knowing the day that we would be in. Not having any idea that the social media would have exploded to such an extent that it's the guiding light for many Christians. We've left the prayer room for the chat room. If you're basing your maturity and your walk with Christ on how many people like what you have to say in the chat room, you got some problems. Come on. And this is not just young people. In fact, most young people don't like Facebook. It's us older folks that get on there and, you know, we want people to like us. Like what we have to say, and we got opinions. Come on, someone. It's easy to type. It's hard to take that away. Matthew 18, right after this incident that Peter had with Jesus and the coin. No wonder people like to fish. We hope we find coins in mouths, don't we? But at that time, verse 1, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever," verse 6, "causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come." Underline, must come. "But woe to that man by whom the offense comes." No way that John would have known the time that we're in. The very crucial time. And no way that Pastor Tammany, when he was here on Sunday, spoke about this very thing. Told me was what he felt the Lord was telling him to speak. And I told him just a little bit that we were going through the bait of Satan. But he had already established the fact that God spoke to him coming from the outside in that there were offenses throughout the town. And you know what? He's right. I go around the town, talk to people, and people are still mad at what happened 15 years ago. I can't even remember what happened 15 days ago. I can't. It's hard for me to look back 15 years. Are you there? This thing of offense, this thing of telling stories on people has got to stop. People aren't the same. I'm not the same as I was 15 years ago. There were things that I had convictions about 15 years ago that are no longer convictions. Come on, somebody. There are things that I did 15 years ago that I can no longer do because I know there's been more of a revelation of Christ. And so if you judge me on what happened years ago, we're going to have offenses. I mean, people crying and all kinds of stuff. Talking about what happened years ago. And I mean, really just getting all angry or crying or upset. We cannot afford to do that. We must walk in forgiveness. Jesus said, if you cause one of these little ones, there are young people looking at us. If they're even looking at Christianity, they're looking at the way we conduct ourselves. And we're still talking about things. We're mad about what happened. Society is full of it. Come on. Can I preach just a few minutes? Can I talk to you? Can I take the... And every other week we hear about slavery. Blacks in slavery. Every other week we hear about it. How blacks are mistreated in slavery. And every other month Hollywood comes out with another TV series or movie on Jews dying in Germany. We hear about it all the time. Come on, somebody, don't look at me like that. And what is that for? It's the devil continuing to bring things up so that the spirit of offense will always be there. Look what it's done to our African-American brothers and sisters. They have the most abortions. Can we talk tonight? They have the most abortions. They are the most prisons are, the population of every prison is mostly African American, largely African American. Come on, somebody. Am I talking real tonight? So that's a spirit all over this nation. We got to stop. It's got to stop. See, we walk in forgiveness. We forgive. It's a choice that we choose to forgive. And when we forgive, times of refreshing come from God. And we forget what we were mad about. I'll just tell you, I don't get it. I'm thick. I'm an old Pennsylvania Dutch guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can get angry. And, you know, there are hills I'll die on, there are hills I won't die. But if we have a disagreement and you get mad at me and you do wrong me, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying the next day I'm okay. The same day, 2 hours later, I'm like, okay, let's move on. And I give all the credit and glory to God. Because I'll tell you what, you can't be a pastor and carry offense. Because you will crash and burn. You will crash and burn because people all the time are coming and telling me all kinds of things that if I stayed offended at what people said, I'd be able to, but the spirit, especially in Fulton County and Rochester, one of the strong spirits is the spirit of offense. It really is. Turn with me to Philippians. Go eat peaches and cream. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I was going to go another direction tonight and ask a couple questions. But is it okay if I preach? Because I didn't get to preach on Sunday. No, I really want to drive this point home because we can't miss this point. We cannot. This whole thing of the bait of Satan, this was written in 2003. That was 12 years ago. Who could have known the place we're at right now? And man, if you're not offended, by the time you get home tonight and watch 11 o'clock news, you'll have about 10 chances to be offended. But we're looking at the other side of this. And here's what Philippians says. Paul's writing the Philippian church in verse 9. And this I pray that your love may abound. Underline love. And if you've got room, if you can write in your Bible. If not, then get somebody else's Bible and write in it. But love, your love that's agapeo. It's agapeo, the God kind of love. May abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Two things. Two-edged sword in love. It's knowledge and all discernment. Now, something that will help you if you've got problem with offenses, something will help you is say, we all are growing in the likeness of God. If we make a mistake, if something happens, even if we're rude and unruly and do something wrong, it's going to be okay. It's not the unpardonable sin. For Pete's sakes, half of us, if we were in charge of the gates of heaven, nobody would be there. We'd say, oh, I remember that. You don't deserve to be in here. Get out of here. Come on, somebody. We can't go past this point and just breeze past this teaching tonight. We've got to understand that God carries a heavy judgment on those that cause offense and hold offenses. I don't care how mean somebody has been, there's tomorrow. What I always look at, Terry and I both do this, we practice it. We didn't get here easy. But we always judge everything in the light of eternity. What does this have to do with eternity? If it doesn't affect eternity, come on, somebody. There are things that we get angry about, and we're angry. The Bible says we can be angry and sin not. I'm angry that the devil has closed the ears of this nation to allow the things that's been allowed. I'm angry. But I'm getting in my closet doing warfare with He who is going to pay the ultimate price. I want to get angry at people that are stupid and dumb and ignorant and their eyes are closed and their ears are stuffed. They need Jesus. I'm not going to get mad at people that are doing what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to sin. Because if they stop sinning, they'd be saved. Come on, somebody. They're supposed to do that. We beat people up. They do what they're supposed to. That's like hitting a blind man for tripping over a curve. What's the matter with you? See that thing? They don't see it. And we get mad. We get all upset. And people just take their anger on them and say mean and cruel things. But Jesus says, and this I pray that your love, or Paul said, this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere, and watch, and without offense till the day of Christ. Now that's a high calling, to be without offense. That means both sides of the coin. I'm not going to do anything to offend my brother, and I'm not going to receive offense. And we need God to do that. Now, Paul's praying a prayer that's possible. It's reachable. It's attainable. Watch what he says. We approve the things that are excellent. We want things to be done excellently. We want things to be... We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to serve one another. When things foul up, we're without offense. Watch what he says. Being filled in verse 11... Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Now, it would be one thing for him to preach this and get in his chariot and ride off into the sunset. But sometimes we don't realize people preach things and you say, well, but Paul is talking to the Philippians. You know where he's at? He's in jail. Guy's in jail. Unrighteously in jail. Thrown in jail. And the Judaizers want him dead. The religious people today want him dead. For Pete's sake, some people that say they're Christians want him dead. So he sets the ultimate example when he begins. And if you'll allow me to read a few verses here. Verse 12 says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What's he saying? He said, I got beat up and I got thrown in prison, but I'm rejoicing. How many of us have got the temerity and the boldness to do that today? See, we're getting persecuted. We're getting told we're ugly and shut our mouth and take God out of this and put Jesus into that. And so it has become evident to the whole palace guard, enemies, and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You talk about any reason in the world to be offended, Paul has every reason, and rightfully so, to be offended. Here I am, I quit my job as a Pharisee. I was perfect at it, he says, as touching the law without blame. I commanded troops, man. I went through Christians in jail. I got orders from the head honcho. If anybody had any right to be offended, Paul did. Watch what he says. Some indeed preach Christ, verse 15, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then, in verse 18, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. He just given a perfect example about what he told the Philippians he wanted from them. Abound more and more in love. And be without offense till the day of Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, look at me, man. I'm in chains. I'm writing this to you, and I'm in chains, and I'm rejoicing that the gospel is being preached. Man, we fight over all kinds of things. As Christians, it's no wonder the world. We have offenses on all kinds of things. That guy doesn't speak in tongues. I don't trust him. Come on, somebody. Major on the majors. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Do you believe He's the Son of God? Do you believe He died on the third day, rose from the dead? Then you're my brother. You're my sister. I'm not going to argue about whether you think this is true. Now, there are things that we cannot come off of. We can't come off the issues of the day, like homosexuality and abortion, all this thing. I get that. And anybody that says they are for that and say they're a Christian, they're nothing but liars. They are not Christians. I can't have fellowship with them. I can't sit and say I'm one with them. I won't even invite them into my house. And I certainly won't sit with them and talk with them and have them try to convince me. And that's going to be offensive. I'm not talking about those people. Those people are going to be offended. Because I ain't coming off the truth. Come on, somebody say amen. But this thing about separating and dividing because somebody doesn't do this or somebody doesn't do that or somebody doesn't pray. I mean, come on. We need to be in unity in these hours that we have left. We need to be in unity because it takes all of us. And Paul was simple enough. Some people are preaching Christ from envy and strife. Can you believe it? They're preaching envy and strife. They're preaching Christ selfishly. They want to gain something from it. But Christ is being preached. We need to get to that place. Let God flesh all that out. When Terry got married to me, she lost her name, Berkey Bile. By the way, that was her maiden name. Isn't that a funny name, Berkey Bile? I got a lot of room to talk. Smale, you know, Smale. Where was I going with that? Thank you. Where did we get the idea that our last name is Holy Spirit? And we want to line everybody up and correct everybody. The Holy Spirit is going to correct people. We need to trust Him to correct people. I don't get all bent out of shape when I hear somebody that I love speak something that sounds like they're on crack. And people, I get judged for that all the time. But I'm not going to try to correct. You'll find out. Go on down that path. You love the Lord, the Holy Spirit will slap you. Are you there, somebody? See, we want to be the fixer-uppers. We want to make everybody just think the way we do. It would be wonderful if we all thought alike. I'm not getting off the subject. I'm talking about offense. People get so offended. They're tender. They got their thin skin. If that's you, stop it. Pastor Tammany got on a plane and left. He said, stop that. You know, I get in trouble. He said, grow up. I was amen. Church needs to grow up. I'm not picking on anybody. We just need to go on with it already. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Let Him work things out. People may be stubborn. They may beat their head against the wall. That's okay. Let them do it. Anybody that's had teenagers knows what I'm talking about. I know when you were born, they said all your parts were there, but I can't figure out what happened to your brain. What happened to your brain? Go find it. Don't come back until you get it. Come on, somebody. Anybody had teenagers? You just say, where in the world are your brains? And that's the way we are sometimes as Christians. We get an idea, we get a squirrely idea, and we run off. We just need to love people and let them go off and run off. Let the Holy Spirit pray for them. And if they ask, listen, if you ask me, I'll tell you. I'm a pastor, but the people look at me as if I'm, you should control things. I can't control anything. They handed out control things in seminary, but I couldn't afford it. And I wouldn't want it, even if I could. It's the Holy Spirit's job. How do we stay away from offense? We remember that God loves us. Listen to me. He loves us. He'd do anything for us. He'd take care of us. But I got news for you. He loves me too. He loves me. And sometimes I don't like him, but he loves you. Sometimes we come into disagreement. We say, God, you really love that person? Yeah, I love them. They're a little nuts right now, but they'll come down. They'll be okay. Give them space. Give them room. Some of us in this room need to go home and call people, write letters. Do not do it on Facebook, please. I am them. And get it right. Get it right. Release them. Come on, somebody. Because it will never happen. Watch what he says now. I'm closing. Philippians is a great book. If we see it in the light of this, what I'm talking about tonight, it's just such... Watch what he says in verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul had reached the place where you and I are asked to live. We visit there once in a while. But we're called to live in that place where to live is Christ and to die is gain. My only hope, my only desire, my only passion is to please you, Father. I want to please you in my life, in my hope. I'm not going to come off the truth. Will I offend? Yes, you better believe, especially in this hour. I'm going to offend people left and right, and good for them if I do. Don't get me started. I don't want to hear everybody sit down beside me and tell me you're a Christian and you believe in abortion. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. How can you? I don't want anybody sitting across the table from me saying people can live any kind of sexual impurity they want to and still be a Christian. Cannot do it. So I want that clear. But listen. With all my heart, please don't be offended so easy. Get it straight. Pray for those that you know that have offense. And you don't have to go very far. You can hit a rock and hit somebody that's offended. If you hit them, they'll be offended because you hit them with a rock. They're all over the place, especially in this county. This county is just saturated. One of the principalities and powers is offense. Are you there? You want to do warfare, pray against that. Pray against the divisive spirit that's in this place. We want to have unity and embrace. And when that happens, because God wants to bring revival. We pray for it all the time. God says, I want revival. Y'all are mucking it up. God's probably saying the same thing as I said about my teenagers. I know I put a brain in you when I created you. Where'd it go? I mean, did you read over there that we have the mind, you have the my mind, you have the mind of Christ? Where'd it go? Would somebody go out and find the mind of Christ and please bring it back? Are you there? We have the mind of Christ. We're mature. I'm looking at people who've been walking with the Lord a long time. Let's get it right. Let's walk straight. Let's walk in unity. Let's believe that God can. God can take care of things. If anybody needs adjustment, the Holy Spirit is the adjuster. And if He uses you to adjust, He'll do it in love, tenderness. It's not that we don't correct people. We do them in a spirit of love and respect. Father, I thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your Spirit that is dwelling in us, God. I thank You that You guide and lead us and direct us. Thank You that You rescue us all the time from our stupid, dumb things, God. Most of us have tongues long enough, God, that we step on them all the time. But God, I thank You for Your patience with us and Your love for us. God, we pray even for those tonight that have been offended and have carried great offense in their bodies. If there's someone here tonight that's done that, Lord, I pray, Father, that there would be such a release. Such a release, God. And God, that You would bring times of refreshing in this area. Father, we pray for the church in Fulton County. We pray for the church in this area, God. God, that there would be such a rush, a mighty rushing wind blow through Your church once again, God, that we could, with the saints, be in one mind, one accord in all that we do. Father, even so, we say with the Spirit, come quickly, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.